Some of you were at the praise gathering last night at North Douglas Church. That person was there. Yeah, and it was pretty incredible. Pretty incredible stuff. And Debbie, Bert, and Ira did just an amazing job. I think there was a band of about 11 of them on the stage. It was loud, it was fast, it was exciting, it was good. The presence of God was there. And so that's awesome. We have one brief announcement to make by video. Is that right? Okay. But we're going to dismiss the preteens first. So if you guys want to head down, you're all raring to go. Okay. Looks to me like they do a lot of eating. But this is coming up in the spring, and I know they need to give the retreat center numbers by early December. Is that correct? And so, ladies, if you are interested in going, it's going to be a great time. If you want more information, see Jeanette Lane or Lisa Blaze. They would be happy to talk to you, tell you more, and that will be coming up very quickly or very soon in the spring. Great promises of God. We've been talking about some lifelines, great promises for tough times, and this morning we want to talk about the promise of peace. Can we just watch this short video as we start? Thinks that peace comes from watching sports on the couch. He'd be real happy now. Amen. Who was that? We just picked that up because for many people, peace, well, the one fellow says it comes from the trees. But peace is something that is a rare commodity. And if you listen to what they say, and if you look around our world, there are a lot of things that would rob us of our peace. There are a lot of things that would create difficult circumstances in our lives and potentially can take our peace away from us. The Bible promises us peace. If we go to our text in John chapter 14, verse 25 to 27, Jesus made this statement. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says, I give you peace. I don't give you peace the way the world gives you peace. But he says, I give you peace. I leave it with you. It is a gift that I have given. So God has made us a promise through Jesus Christ that we can know peace even in the middle of a most difficult world. We could argue that, well, Jesus' time, it was much simpler, gentler, kinder kind of life. And so, you know, maybe it was easier in his time to know peace. Well, think a little bit about his time. It was a time when the nation of Israel was occupied by the Roman army, by the Romans. It was a time when they were oppressed by an enemy nation. It was a time when there was just as much violence and there was just as much difficulty as there is today. It's not like Jesus lived in this really nice, safe, rural environment that just made for a really peaceful life for him. But listen to what happens, or look at what happens in the life of Jesus, where he is grabbed and they want to throw him off the cliff outside of Jerusalem for his teaching. They want to arrest him and kill him. There are people constantly looking out for his life, or looking out to take his life from him. And so we can't say that Jesus lived in this nice, peaceful place where nothing ever really happened. And so therefore, for him, it was easy to promise peace. Jesus promised to us that we could know peace even in the most troubled situations. One of the reasons that we're doing this series is because of what's going on in our world today. We live in troubled times. If you have been watching stock markets and all of those things, it's very easy to lose your peace as you see pension plans and investments eroded, and as you see things change so rapidly around us. But if peace doesn't work in this situation, then the peace that Jesus promises isn't of any value, is it? It has to work in times like this to be valuable, to be real. It has to work in times like this, or it's just an empty promise that Jesus made. So let's look a little bit at what peace is. What is peace? Well, let me say, first of all, peace is more than the absence of conflict. We often define peace as being simply when everyone gets along or when there are no difficult circumstances in our lives. Many of the people on the video define peace in that way, that when everything is going well, when everything is calm, when I have friends, when I know for sure what's going to happen, if I can not flunk out of my courses, then I am in a place of peace. But the truth is that peace is much more than the absence of conflict. We look at different places in the world today, and we look at places where peace treaties are negotiated. We look in the Middle East, and we see that, you know, the Arabs and Israelis, they sign these peace treaties. And we go, oh, there'll be peace in the Middle East. We look at Afghanistan, and we look at Canada's peacekeeping efforts there, and we applaud those who are there serving and putting their life on the line, and we don't want for a moment want to take that for granted or speak lightly of that. But the reality is, all they're really trying to do is keep them from shooting at each other. Because peace is much more than the absence of conflict. Peace is much more than everybody just signing a piece of paper and then putting their guns down, but they're still within arm's reach. It's much more than that. Peace has to be much more than that. And we sometimes say, well, we can enforce peace. And you know, that's when the Canadian troops or other troops from around the world go and they try to make peace. And the way they make peace is maybe by having bigger guns or more guns and enforcing peace. You can't enforce peace. You can't send troops in and say, you know, we're going to make you be at peace in this place. We have situations in our homes often, conflict maybe between our children, conflict between spouses, conflict with relatives, family, conflict at work, and you can't enforce peace. You know that if your children are fighting at the dinner table, you can get them to stop fighting, but you can't necessarily make them like each other in that moment. And so what you have done is you have enforced a truce, but not really brought peace into that situation. You have simply brought an end to conflict. Let me suggest to you that peace is transformational. True peace is about a change that has been brought about in a person or in persons involved in a situation. True peace is transformational. It is all about a change of heart. It's all about a change in the person to whom peace has been brought. Peace is more about what is happening inside of us than it is about what is happening around us or to us. We can experience peace even in the most difficult of circumstances, even when others all around us may not be experiencing peace. We can experience peace even when trouble is taking place all over the place around us. It's a great example in Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 41. Jesus and the disciples are in a boat. They are crossing over the sea. When they left, it was nice. Jesus went to the back part of the boat. Jesus was tired. He lay down. He fell asleep. The disciples are busy doing whatever you have to do to get a boat across the sea. And while they're doing this, a terrible storm comes up. And the disciples are afraid that they're going to go under. They are working as hard as good sailors can. Some of them were fishermen. They were used to being on the sea. They were used to being in storms. Maybe Matthew the tax collector wasn't any good here, but Peter, James, and John knew what they were doing in a boat in a storm, and they were working as hard as they could to make this thing stay afloat. Jesus is sleeping. And finally they wake up Jesus. They finally wake him up and they say, "Don't you care? We are about to drown." And verse 39, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still. I kind of think he yelled it, maybe. You think maybe he yelled it? We read it, you know, peace, be still. I don't think Jesus said it like that at all. I think there was a forcefulness to his voice. Quiet, be still. And it says that then the wind died down and it was completely calm. There's a big difference between Jesus in the storm and the disciples in the storm, not because what was happening around them was different. They were both in a storm, but what was happening inside them was different. What was happening inside of Jesus was different than what was happening inside the disciples. And what I'm suggesting to you is that we can all be in the same storm, but some of us can experience and know peace, and others only experience and know storm and difficulty. And when peace comes, peace transforms us. Our text, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. The peace that is promised to us by Jesus is the antidote for troubled hearts and for fear. Jesus said that the peace I will give you is a peace that overcomes troubled hearts, that overcomes fear, that transforms a troubled, fearful person into a peaceful person. It may not change anything around us. There's a song that says, sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. That's the difference that I'm talking about this morning. Jesus doesn't always calm the storm in our life. Wouldn't it be great if he did? Wouldn't it be great if all we had to do when we were in the middle of the storm say, Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? And he'd sort of shake himself awake and say, quiet, be still. And everything would, oh, our kids would get along with each other all the time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We would never disagree with our spouse about anything ever again. Wouldn't that be great? Be dull, but it would be. Oh, you guys are all looking at each other, elbowing each other now. You go, oh, for a little dullness. But you know, into the middle of that, Jesus promises peace. He says that your heart doesn't have to be troubled, you don't have to be afraid with the peace that he gives us. Because this peace transforms us. It changes how we see the circumstances that are around us. So peace is transformational, but peace is also relational. Let me tell you what I mean by that. It is found in our relationship with a person rather than in a process. Now, I know that there are things that we can do to calm ourselves when we are afraid or frightened or when things around us are difficult. Let me give you some helpful advice for if you are ever facing a tiger in the jungle or maybe in the highlands, okay? Few of you have been reading the papers. You can consciously slow down your breathing. If you are afraid, you can very consciously slow down your breathing. Now, I learned this when my wife was having a baby. This was more for me than it was for her. Now, I hope I remember it. You breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, and it has a calming effect on you. Is that right, Cynthia? Did I get it right? Oh, yeah. 25 years ago, and I still remember. Okay, but it has a calm. You can slow down your breathing. You can relax yourself. You can talk to yourself with calming words. It's okay, Al. It'll be all right. You know, it'll be all right. You can talk to yourself. You can calm yourself down. You can pick up a big stick. You know, you can feel safer. If the stick happens to be a gun, that's even better when you're afraid. But you can pick up a big stick if you're afraid, and you can make yourself look big. For some of us, that's easy, but you can make yourself, they say that if you're ever facing a bear, make yourself look big. I'm not sure how you do that, but you know, those are things apparently you can do. But none of that really succeeds in making that which frightens us go away. And if in life there's lots of things more conflicting or challenging than the prospect of facing a tiger, and a lot of them cannot necessarily be changed. But we can still experience peace because we know the one who brings peace. And that's why I say it's relational. Peace comes from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Peace comes because we know someone who is able to deal with every situation in our life, who is able to bring good out of everything in our lives. Peace comes because of our relationship with God. Let's look at some verses just quickly. John 14:27, our text. Peace I leave with you. My peace I, Jesus said, give you. So if you know Jesus, he is the one who gives you peace. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Notice he says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. This idea of knowing the Prince of Peace is what this is all about, and that's why I say it's relational. I'm not great for bumper stickers. Because most people who have them on their car just don't drive like they believe them. But there is one that I kind of like. It says, no God, no peace. No God, no peace. And I think it speaks powerful truths into our lives that when we know God, we can know peace in our lives. Philippians 4:9, I missed that one, but the God of peace will be with you. It's a great text, and we'll refer to it a little bit later, but the God of peace will be with you. Pastor Ira spoke so well last week on the fact of God being with us. Who is this God? And he has all kinds of names, and throughout Scripture, those names are revealed to us, but one of his names is the God of peace, and his name describes what he does. His name is not cute. His name is not new and exciting and different than any other name in the world, but his name describes who he is as a person and what he will do in our lives, and he is the God of peace. Do you remember when the shepherds were told about Jesus coming? They were told that he would bring peace. He's described as the Prince of Peace who comes into our lives. So peace comes from our relationship with him. So let's move on. How can we live in the promise of peace? So the promise is made. We know that there's a promise. We know that the promise comes through Jesus Christ. We know that that promise can change us. We know that promise is good even in the most difficult of circumstances. So how can we live in that promise of peace? Well, I was awake early this morning, and I was thinking about some of this stuff. That's what pastors do when they wake up early in the morning on a Sunday. They go over their sermon and they go over it and over it and go, why am I going to say that? And why don't I say this? But I want to add something right here at the beginning, first of all, and I got Lorraine and Nathan to put it in for me. So it's A1 instead of just A that appears in your notes. First of all, we need to make peace with God. We need to make peace with God. I guess I assumed that when I was preparing this, but we need to make peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The starting point of experiencing and living in the promise of peace is making peace with God. There are some people that, you know, just before they die, they say, oh, I want to make peace with God. Well, why didn't we do that a long time ago? Yeah, you can still do it then, by the way. But why didn't we do that a long time ago? Because it's an important thing in our lives to make peace with God. If we want to live at peace with people around us, we need to live, first of all, at peace with God. And peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world, gave his life, died on a cross, in order that we could be in a right relationship with God, that we could be in a relationship with God that brings peace into our lives, peace to know that our sin is forgiven, peace to know that our debt is secure. One of the guys in the video, he said, you know, one of the things that worried him was about going to heaven when he died. And she said, you're worried about going to heaven? Well, he says, I'm worried about not going to heaven when I die. And we can look after that now. We can look after that this morning. Make peace with God. It's not just about getting to heaven when we die. That's the bonus. But it's living this life the way God created and intended for us to live this life, in a relationship with God that is a relationship of peace, where we are free from guilt, where we are free from condemnation, where we are free from that sense of, you know, oh, God might be mad at me. But we have this relationship with God that comes only through Jesus Christ. And it's one that we accept by faith. It's not one that we earn. It's not one that we deserve. It's not one that, oh, if I'm only good enough, I can have this relationship with God. It says that in this passage, in other words, that we accept that by faith, and it is because of the grace of God in our lives. The grace of God is the goodness of God. It's God simply giving us something because he wants to, not because we deserve it. Oh, I was reading in my devotions in Ephesians a couple days ago, and I was reading the passage, but God, who is rich in mercy and because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, and I stop on that verse, and I read the whole chapter, and then I go back into my journal, and I go, everything is because of his mercy and his great love. Everything that God has done in our lives is simply because he wanted to, not because he had to, not because somebody required him to. But everything is because he has mercy on us and he loves us so much. Everything that's happened is because, simply because of that. And so the first place we need to go if we want to live in peace is, or live in the promise of peace, is we need to make peace with God. And that's simple to do. It's an act of faith. We just enter into that relationship and we make peace with God. The second thing that I think we can do, and now this is A in your notes, we need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. If we want to live in a place of peace, in the promise of peace, we need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. And a couple ways we do that. First of all, in our personal past, I think we need to often, I have to be careful. I want to say to be careful that we not just live in the past, okay? I remember when I was early 20s, there was this guy in church, and you know, those days we had testimony time on Sunday night. And this guy would stand up in church, and it was always back in 1944. And I wondered if anything good had happened lately. But you know, it's good to remind ourselves. And I guess in 1944 was when he became a Christian. But it's good to remind ourselves of what God has done, how he saved us, how he brought us to himself, how he entered the kingdom of God through that salvation experience, but also to remind ourselves of the things that God has done in our lives, the times when we are in turmoil and distress, we had troubled hearts, we were full of fear, and God came on the scene and God made a difference. It's important to remind ourselves of those things. It's important that we don't live in those things and think that the only good thing God has ever done is in the past. Because I want to assure you that God has incredible things for us in the present and in the future. It's not all over yet. And I don't care if you're 100 years old. It's not all over yet. There's still a lot to come that God has in store for you. And it's not just in the sweet by and by when we die. It's now. God has great things. I don't know what God's doing in my life, but lately, I have been reading my Bible, and I've been reading through Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, and God, every morning, he speaks to me something, and then God is working in my life, and he's saying, Al, this needs to be adjusted, this needs to be, and I'm going, whoa, how come all of a sudden all this stuff needs to be adjusted? And I think he was just giving me a rest for a while, and now he's back to work again or something. I don't know. But I believe that God has great things for me still. I believe that God is still at work in my life. He is not wanting me to simply live on what happened before. Psalm 77, the psalmist says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember all your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds. When you are stressed out and fearful and troubled, think back in your life to all of the things that God has done before and say, oh God, wow, you did that and you did that, you did that. But not only in your own life, also in Scripture. Look back in this book. This book was given to us for a reason. And the stories that are in here are here for a reason. They tell us of God's work among people like you and I. You look through the Old Testament, you look through the New Testament, you read the stories. Bible stories are incredibly important for us to tell our children. Because in that, we communicate how God works in people's lives. So read the Scriptures and find out what God does. Psalm 119, I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. When you can't sleep, like I couldn't sleep early this morning, recite the verses that you have memorized through your life. Just think about the Scriptures. Think about what God has done, who God is. All of those things, they will bring you to a place of peace, and very quickly you'll find yourself sleeping again because peace comes. The reason we stay awake is because there's stuff troubling us, usually. Just begin to recite the Scriptures and think of the faithfulness of God in your past. Another thing that we can do to live in the promises is to invite God into our situation. You may say, oh, that's so simple. Well, of course. I'm amazed at how often we don't do that. How often we just stress. We invite everybody else into our situation. We phone our friends, oh, I don't know what to do about this. You know, my kids are just giving me so much grief. I don't know what to do about this. My job is just giving me a hard time and all. Did you ever stop to pray and invite God into that situation? Well, Pastor, that's just, you know. Did you? Did you ever stop and just say, God, I need your help. God, I need you in this situation. My kids are driving me nuts. You can talk to God like that, you know. My kids are driving me nuts. My spouse is off the wall. My work. God, would you just come into that? Would you just come into that, God? I can't handle this. This is too much for me. God, I need you to come into this. Is that biblical? Yes. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Invite God into your situation. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it is so profound. It is the way of inviting the peace of God in. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. If you go a little further, you will get to verse number 9. And here it has said the peace of God will come. And in verse number 9, it says, and the God of peace will be with you. I have always liked that play on words that Paul did there, where he says the peace of God will come, and then the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That not only does he give his peace, but he also gives his presence. And he's with us in the middle of that situation. See, do whatever you can to make peace possible. Do whatever you can to make peace possible. You know, there are things that we can do We can stop arguing if we're in the middle of a conflict. We can walk away. We can say we're sorry. That's a novel idea, isn't it? But we can. We can try to bring healing to a situation. Do whatever we can. This is not, you know, inviting God in does not say, well, no, you know, not my problem. In many ways, it isn't our problem anymore because we have given that to God. We've invited him. But we are still there, and there are still things we can do. The disciples in the boat rowed as hard as they could row. They did everything they could do to keep the boat afloat. And I think there are things we can do to help experience God's peace. If we're going to keep fighting with someone, then it's really hard for God's peace to come into that situation. And sometimes we just need to stop talking and just take a step back. And that's something that we can do to bring peace into a situation. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. That's something we can do to bring peace or to live in the promises of peace. And lastly, I believe that we can practice steadfast trust in God. What does that mean? Whenever you start to lose your peace, remind yourself that you are trusting God. Whenever you get this anxious feeling rising up again, just say, take a deep breath and say, God, I put this in your hands, and I'm trusting you. And that may be that we literally have to sort of take our hands like this and go like this. To sort of do a literal demonstration of how we are giving this over to God. If that helps you, do it. Whatever helps you to picture that transfer to God, that giving it over to God, and that trust in God, and I'm not taking it back, God. I'm not taking it back. I have put this in your hands. I'm not taking it back. And every time you start to get anxious, I'm not taking this back. Because I've put it in your hands. In Isaiah, we read in chapter 26, you will keep in perfect peace. You see, this is keeping in peace. Not only giving peace, but you will keep in perfect peace. We can live in a place of peace. Not only do we get peace, but we get to live there. Isn't that amazing? You get to live there in that place of peace. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the eternal rock. Whenever in Scripture you see something repeated, you know it's important. The Lord. What does the Lord mean? The one who's in control. The one who's in charge. The master. The Lord is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. But we could talk about steadfast minds, couldn't we? Steadfast minds. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it generously. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, not wavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he's going to get anything from the Lord. There is this, you know, we're tossed to and fro. We're back and forth. Oh, God, I'm trusting you. Oh, man, I'm scared of you. I'm trusting you. How about if we stay in that place? God, I just want to trust you. I'm going to keep looking to you. Steadfastness means we keep praying about it. We keep spending time before God about it. We keep giving it to God. We keep looking to him for a solution. We just say, God, I am going to hang on to you in this until such time as I see a breakthrough in my life in this area, until such time as that peace just takes hold of my life very strongly. Jesus promised us peace. If we go back to our text, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Do you have a troubled heart? Are you filled with fear today? Jesus promises peace. It's a real promise given from a real Jesus to a real person, you. And it's something that we can count on. It's one of the lifelines promises for tough times in our lives. So how can we take this home? What is one thing in your life that keeps you up worrying at night? Find and memorize two Bible verses which remind you of God's promise of peace in that circumstance. And then when you get into the middle of the night when you're worried and tossed about and your peace is gone, just begin to say those to yourself. Here are the promises of peace. You're the Prince of Peace. You are the peace. You are the God of peace. And you are with me through all of this. Can we stand together? Worship team, will you come back? Father, we have talked about your promise of peace today. And we want to enter into that. We want that to be a reality for us. God, all of us have things that if we let them, they will trouble us, they will make us afraid. All of us have stuff in our lives that if we allow it to, it will rob us of that place before you, that place of peace. So, Father, I just pray for all of us today that we would know what it means to truly have the peace that Jesus promised us, the peace that he said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Father, in our troubled and fearful moments, we pray that we would be able to look to the person who brings peace, to Jesus Christ, the giver of peace, the author of peace. And that in looking to him, we can be transformed. We can be transformed from places of fear and trouble to places of calm and stillness before you. Help us this week, I pray, God, to enter into those promises in Jesus' name. Amen.